Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. King David committed adultery with the wife of one of his military officers. To hide his part in the pregnancy, David decided that the officer would be left to die in battle on purpose. Today's focus, the high price of sin. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series on making the best of a bad decision, Erwin Lutzer talks again about what happens when you make a selfish choice. As David's plot unfolds, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11.
Plan A didn't work, plan B didn't work, and David says, this is one tournament I can't lose. And you know, there are times when a man just has to do what a man has to do. So he writes a note, and the note says, Dear Joab, Joab is the commander of David's army, and he says, take Uriah in the heat of the battle, put Uriah in the middle of it, withdraw from him so that he will be killed. Signed, David. He takes the note and he folds it. If he had some glue in those days, I'm sure he added a little bit of glue, because he gives the note to Uriah and says, Uriah, give this to Joab. And he trusts Uriah so much that he knows Uriah will not open that note. Joab gets the note, and you know, when you're in battle, you're supposed to do as the commander-in-chief asks you to. So they come very close to a wall, and there's a heated battle, and they withdraw from Uriah, and Uriah dies, and in accordance with the agreement, the messenger comes running to David and says, David, guess what? We were in the midst of a battle. We were close to the wall. The enemy was getting to us, and by the way, Uriah is dead. Look at how David handles this. This is in verse 25 now. David is speaking to the messenger, and he says to the messenger, Thus you shall say to Joab, Do not let this matter trouble you, for the sword devours now one and now another. Strengthen your attack against the city and overthrow it, and encourage him. You know, life is tough. You win some, you lose some. Don't let it trouble you, because it's not going to trouble me. I had to do what I had to do. I'm the king. I need Bathsheba as my wife. I need to cover my sin. Well, isn't it time for us to just pause here for a moment and ask, how's the cover-up doing anyway? Well, David knows the truth. Bathsheba knows the truth. Joab knows the truth. The people are going to know the truth. They can count to nine. Nathan knows the truth. It's not going too well. And then, most ominously, God knows the truth. Ouch. Look at the way the chapter ends. Your eyes focused on the last line. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Ouch. God knows. All right, so the cover-up hasn't worked too well. Nathan the prophet comes to him in verse 12. Now, sometimes I teach preaching to young preachers. And I always tell them, whenever you can, give a good introduction to the sermon. Try to hook people. Nathan is a great example of a great preacher. He's got a really good story and a good hook. He says, David, here was a rich man who had all of these lambs and goats, all of these sheep. And over here there was a poor man who had one small sheep. And you know what the rich man did? He stole that one lamb from the poor man. What do you think should be done? The Bible says that David's anger was kindled, and he said the man ought to die, but at least he should pay fourfold for his sin. Nathan says to him in Hebrew, Atah ha'ish, you the man. David, that's you. You're mad because somebody stole a little lamb, and you're not mad at the fact that somebody has stolen another man's wife and has covered it with a crime of murder. That doesn't seem to trouble you, does it, David? As you know, if you listen to my preaching, I'm always interested in the causes of human behavior and the way in which we humans deceive ourselves. The human heart has been a subject of my study for many years, both because I have one and I can see myself and I can see others too. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that the way some people are? They become very critical of others, chipping away, cynical, angry. Look at what so-and-so is doing. Look at what so-and-so is doing. And then you've got this huge sin of attitude that they have, and they can't see it at all. What other people does troubles them very, very deeply. They ought to do such and such. And they don't see their own sin. They are as blind as the proverbial bat. David, in fact, says that the man is should pay fourfold. You know what happens? God says, David, you thought that the man who stole that little lamb should pay fourfold? Guess what? That's the standard I'm going to use for you. See, that's why Jesus said, judge not lest ye be judged, because the standard with which you judge others is the standard with which you will be judged. Come on now, you critical people who all that you can do is to see the flaws of others. How are you going to stand in the day when God takes your standard and applies it to your life? How are you going to do? Nathan goes on to say, David, he said, look, God blessed you. He gave you wives, plural. He made you king. He gave you rest from your enemies. You're the biggest thing in the land. Why did you despise the word of the Lord and take Bathsheba and kill Uriah? So Nathan says, this is God's word to you, Mr. King David. A couple of things God's saying. First of all, the sword will never depart from your house. Turns out that four of David's sons all die because of warfare within their own family. Let's think about it for a moment. Amnon rapes Tamar, so he is murdered by Absalom. So that's Amnon. Then you have Absalom and his rebellion against his dad, and he dies in the civil war against his own father, if you please. Then you have Adonijah. He wants to be king, so Solomon, who ends up being king, has to kill him, another of David's sons, and then the son that Bathsheba was bearing would die. Four sons. David, you did this secretly. It's going to be done throughout all Israel. And Absalom takes David's own wives and violates them on a rooftop in the presence of all of Israel. David, you were concerned about that little lamb, weren't you? Can you see your own sin, David? Well, you'll notice that David saw his own sin. David saw his own sin. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, you know, this is a series on making the best of a bad decision. Help me here. I don't see where any good is coming from this. All that you're doing is talking about the discipline of God, and we need a little bit of hope here, particularly those of you who are involved in sexual sin. You need some hope. Well, there is hope, and it's going to be served in just a moment. It's already in the kitchen. It's on the platter, and in a moment, it'll be brought to your table. But first of all, I want to make some other observations of great importance. First of all, anyone can commit sexual sin. Anyone. Committed Christians have done it, uncommitted Christians have done it, missionaries, pastors, Christian leaders, Sunday school teachers, elders, deacons, name it. Anyone can commit sexual sin. Here's David, who's a man after God's own heart, and in a moment of passion, he throws it all away because nothing matters except this moment of euphoria. Nothing matters except finally connecting with my soulmate. Like one man involved in adultery told me, I've lived in a desert all of these years. Now I found an oasis, and you are telling me I should renounce that oasis. And he says, I can't. Pastor many years ago in the city of Chicago committed adultery. I called him to try to talk him out of his ways, but I'll never forget this. He said, well, you know, David had a price to pay, but he did get his Bathsheba. Yeah. He did get his Bathsheba. Destruction of his family. And the disintegration of his kingdom. He paid for his Bathsheba. Second observation is that God is always the loser. You know, verse 14 here should be, I think, translated differently. It is in all other translations. It says that Nathan says, nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord. Notice that the marginal rendering is the enemies of the Lord. Most translations translate it, you've caused the enemies of the Lord to scorn God. I think that's the idea. God says, David, don't you realize that your sin makes me really look bad? Because now word has gone throughout all the surrounding communities, and even the other nations have heard. You know, David, you know the guy who wrote all the Psalms, who loves God, who keeps trusting God? You know what he did? He committed adultery with another man's wife and then killed the guy. And David is the great man, the great lover of Jehovah. Give me a break. God says, David, you know, my reputation is at stake here. And you know, people in the world don't make up their minds about God until they see us, or what they think of God often depends on how we live. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, give us some grace here. Give us some grace. The grace is coming. It's coming. Notice David says to Nathan in verse 13, I have sinned against the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. He got the message. And my friend today, this is Pastor Lutzer, and that is the beginning of grace. As long as David was trying to cover his sin and pretend that nobody else knew about it, the Bible says in Psalm 32 that he was constantly vexed in spirit. And perhaps you've experienced that as well because your conscience has troubled you. Please begin by coming clean with God. And then you shall see grace. And then you shall see hope. This is a series of messages entitled Making the Best of a Bad Decision. I preach them because I know from my own life and my own experience as a pastor that there are many bad decisions, and I wanted people to know God is there for us.
Today, Erwin Lutzer brought more of When You Make a Selfish Choice, the fourth of seven messages in a series on making the best of a bad decision. Next time, why covering up our sin never works, and why only coming clean before God can mark a new beginning. Making the Best of a Bad Decision can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.